American woman. It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. It is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter at my website. That way you get first look of all of the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts and our most recent op-eds. We also have our voter's guide on the website now. Rick Turnquest and I worked together on this. We went through all of the questions on the Colorado ballot and have come up with a recommendation. We've done a lot of research. We have a link to the actual language of the question. We have a link to any supporting either measure or legislation so that you can see what's behind it. And then we give you our opinion. And you can agree or disagree. We just hope that it'll be a really great tool for you as you are filling out your ballot this year. And we are going to be doing another event. Susan Kochevar, you are in studio with me. You are you're an entrepreneur. You are the owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And you were at the Voters Guide event this last Monday over at Water's Edge Winery. And it was great. Not everybody did agree on everything. It was great discussions.
It was. Good discussion and fantastic food.
Fantastic food is right. I loved that pumpkin coconut bisque.
It was delicious.
Great to have you here. We've got a big show planned for everyone. We'll go through some headlines here in the first segment. Bill McCaleb, who is running for one of the House seats here in Colorado, will be on this first segment. Bonnie Carroll is the founder of TAPS, which is the Tragedy Assistance Survivors Program for Survivors. And her husband was a general and was killed in, I think it was a helicopter crash, either helicopter or airplane crash. And she realized that there was not a real infrastructure for people, you know, the families.
Right.
And so she started TAPS, I think like in the early 90s. And they're having a big, big event here in Colorado tomorrow night, virtual, but big event. So
nice.
That should be great. And then in the third and fourth segment, Josh Phillip, who is an expert on China. He is an investigative reporter with the Epoch Times. We'll be talking about China in segments three and four. So, Susan, it's always great to have you here.
Good. Sounds like an exciting show. I have a couple questions for the guy from China.
This whole TikTok WeChat thing is going to be most interesting.
Yes.
Always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of you listeners, you're each treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We always like to look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, if something is a good idea, Susan, you should not have to force people.
That's right.
So our quote for today, I think that you're going to like this. Since you're in the movie business, I thought, Humphrey Bogart.
Ah.
And this, I know that you are going to really like this. He said, Humphrey Bogart was an American film and stage actor. His performances in classical Hollywood cinema films made him an American cultural icon. In 1999, the American Film Institute selected Bogart as the greatest male star of the classic American cinema. He was born in 1899. He died in 1957. And he said this. He said, "Making money isn't the main point of business. Money is a byproduct. A new product has been found, something to use to the world. A new industry moves into an undeveloped area. Factories go up, machines go in, and you're in business. It's coincidental that people who've never seen a dime now have a dollar and barefooted kids wear shoes and have their faces washed. What's wrong with an urge that gives people libraries, hospitals, baseball diamonds, and movies on a Saturday night?"
That's wonderful. And not any of that is possible without profit.
Exactly. And so money is just a byproduct of creativity and innovation. I wanted to mention another thing on the entertainment business before we get over here to Bill McCaleb. Patty had found this. And that is that Disney is slamming California as it lays 28,000 people off. It says, in light of the prolonged impact of COVID-19 on our business, including limited capacity due to physical distancing requirements and the continued uncertainty regarding the duration of the pandemic, exacerbated in California by the state's unwillingness to lift restrictions that would allow Disneyland to reopen, we've made the very difficult decision to begin the process of reducing our workforce at our parks, experiences, and products segment at all levels, having kept non-working cast members on furlough since April while paying their health care benefits. Approximately 28,000 domestic employees will be affected, of which 67% are part-time. This is going to affect
terrible.
A lot of lives. And it doesn't have to be this way. Now you look over at Florida. This is from AIER.org. Governor Ron DeSantis has proven it. It is actually possible for a politician to wise up and do the right thing. In a sweeping order announced September 25th, the governor has opened up the entire economy. He has even limited the ability of local governments to impose more restrictions and collect fines for mask violations. And he's doing this. COVID hospitalizations have declined 77% since the July peak. COVID ICU hospitalizations have declined 72% since the July peak. Let's see. Emergency visits to COVID-like illnesses has declined by 80%. Daily hospital admissions have declined by 81%. The percentage of positive diagnostic tests are at 4.32%. 24% of the hospital beds are empty. I'm glad somebody has come to their senses here.
Yeah, there's a few other states too, Idaho, and I see now Tennessee has followed suit, which is a good thing, because if you look at the new CDC numbers, even the people in the 70-year-old range have a survival rate of, 97.6%.
Because there's treatments.
Because there's treatments, and it's not any worse than a flu season. People don't like to hear that, but that's the truth.
And so did you watch the debates the other night?
I did.
I didn't get through all of them because I ended up talking with some people at the very end. But it looked to me like Joe Biden was trying to push this narrative that COVID-19 was all Donald Trump's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Having these states open up is going to really push back on that narrative, although these health departments are run by bureaucrats.
Yes.
And I would not be surprised if we see some manipulation of numbers. I just think there might be.
Yeah, they're trying to say now that numbers are, some of the infection rates are going up. But one thing I liked about the debate was Trump pointed out to Biden, listen, you can't have a thriving economy and shut down at the same time, Joe.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
And it's just a tragedy at what is happening to all of these families here with these shutdowns. And as we look at the numbers don't support what they're doing, probably in California as well.
That's right.
But Susan, let's jump over here to Bill McCaleb. These races we now see are so important. And I've always said, people say, oh, I'm not into politics. Well, we can see that politics is into you. And we have a lot of fine people that are stepping up to run for office. Bill McCaleb, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you? And hey, good morning to everybody.
Doing well. You are now in the horse race now till ballots are going to be mailed the week of October 9th, which is just right around the corner. I know you're out there working hard. You're running for Colorado House District 6. What is that area, Bill?
So that area, Kim, includes kind of north to south, Hilltop neighborhood, Mayfair neighborhoods, down to Cherry Creek, as well as Wash Park, Barnett, Bonnie Bray, and the like. So, it's pretty wide, and it goes pretty much east and west and north and south.
Okay, how many people typically are in each district right now? How many people are in your district approximately, Bill?
So there are 55,000 registered voters, plus or minus. In District 6, about 50% of them are registered Democrats. There's a significant amount of undecided, or excuse me, unaffiliated, And then of course the kind of the remainder, you know, we might get 20% of the population as Republicans.
Bill McCaleb, this Democrat Party that is now basically in power here in Colorado is not the Democrat Party of your grandma and your grandpa. It's not the Democrat Party of JFK. It has moved so far over to the radical activist left that I've got to think that Blue Dog Democrats and unaffiliateds, I'm hoping that they look at the destruction that has occurred in our city and said, you know what, maybe we need to make a change. Are you hearing that on the campaign trail at all?
Yes, I am. You know, when I first started this, I had no idea how much walking I would ultimately do. But there's a lot of walking, a lot of knocking on doors, and a lot of talking to people that kind of occurs every week. And I think, you know, the story that I have of liberty and freedom and safety and security, particularly now, while those might not, while safety and security weren't the top items back in February, they certainly are, you know, now. I hear from Democrats, from Republicans, and from unaffiliateds, you know, that they're concerned, and everybody's fearful of, you know, what's going on, and really who's kind of holding the people who are committing the riots, the arson, the violence, who's holding them accountable for their deeds.
Well, and most interesting is if you go to Black Lives Matter, the website, and click to donate, the clearinghouse, where the money goes, is Act Blue, which is the big Democrat fundraising arm of the Democrat Party. It shouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out division, destruction, Democrat, prosperity, unity, peace, that would be Republican. And I hope that people can start to connect those dots, Bill McCaleb.
Yeah, no, I hope so too, because I mean it really is about safety and security, and throughout the course of this campaign I've talked about lower taxes and school choice, you know, lower regulation, smaller government, and it's certainly a growing jobs economy, which we had actually before COVID, and what we're seeing now. I thought it was interesting in the debate the other night, where there was a radical difference between President Trump and Mr. Biden about, is it a V recovery or is it a K recovery, where, you know, not everybody is benefiting. I'm not sure that's exactly true. Exactly true. It's by a long shot, not true.
Yes, Susan Kochevar, I'm thinking that if we get this thing opened up, I think it's a V, V recovery.
You can't have a K in the graph. Sorry, Joe. Yeah. That doesn't work.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
Bill McCaleb.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, you can't have a king.
That's no.
Good.
Yeah.
That's a great nugget for today. Bill McCaleb, I am recommending that people help adopt a candidate. Certainly the national race is important. The Senate races are important. But these state and local races are important as well. And for the next, what is it? Steve's got the countdown, but it's like 30 some. How many days is
30
it?
30 days-ish.
Yeah, 30 days.
32.
People need to get active and they need to help. I'm recommending they adopt a candidate. It doesn't have to be, I mean, can be somebody from a different district can help you. How can people adopt you, Bill McCaleb?
Well, people can adopt me. I've already been honored with a lot of adoptions so far.
Yay.
If you go to my website, Bill Brings It, and spelled itit.com, and you can go on there, and there's an opportunity for you to volunteer. There's an opportunity to donate. And, you know, before I really started in this, I didn't realize how expensive it is, how much money you actually need to get one of these campaigns rolling. So it's always a need. And so I do appreciate you mentioning this, Kim.
Okay. Bill McCaleb, we'll talk with you again very soon. Keep on walking, okay?
Absolutely. I'm going through tennis shoes like there's no tomorrow.
Ah, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Before we go to break, another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations right here in Colorado, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And, you know, these days are so gorgeous right now, Susan. Mm-hmm. Get together with some friends, sit out on the patio. They have great happy hour specials. They do game day specials. It's just a great time to get together with friends, and Hooters Restaurants is the place to do that. Their website is HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be with Bonnie Carroll.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and go to my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there, as well as we have our new voter's guide. Rick Turnquest and I went through all of the amendments and propositions on the Colorado ballot and have researched them and made some recommendations. You can agree or disagree. We just hope that it'll be a great tool as you sit down to fill out your ballot this election season. I am so excited to have on the line with me Bonnie Carroll. She is the founder of TAPS, which is Tragedy Assistant Program for Survivors. Did I get that right, Bonnie Carroll?
Hello, Kim, and thank you. Yes, TAPS is the national organization for all those grieving the death of a military loved one. We honor our nation's fallen heroes and remember their service and sacrifice.
And yours is a remarkable story, Bonnie Carroll. Tell us a little bit about you and how you ended up founding this organization.
Well, I myself am a veteran of the United States Air Force, and my husband was serving in the United States Army at the time back in the early 90s. He was killed in an Army plane crash along with seven other soldiers. You know, at that time, I went looking for the kind of support group I just knew had to exist for military families grieving a death and honoring a hero, and found that it had never existed in America. So in 1994, the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, or TAPS, was launched to provide a community, to provide that safe space for all these tens of thousands of military families to come together and find hope and healing. Today, TAPS is a major national organization that comes right alongside the casualty officers whenever someone dies in the military. And we do this, Kim, with the support of the American people. It's not a government agency. It's entirely private. But
we do this
because America honors service and sacrifice of our military men and women.
You know, Bonnie, I also do a show, America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, and that show precipitated from a trip that I took in 2016 with a group that took four D-Day veterans back to Normandy for the D-Day anniversary. And it's at that point in time, I just realized that every soldier's story is unique. It is different. And it is something that's on my heart to tell these stories. So you and I think, are very connected in a way that I hadn't even really thought about until you just started talking. So this is National Suicide Prevention Month. We are seeing so many of our soldiers that are dying from suicide. It is absolutely heartbreaking, Bonnie Carroll.
It is. It's a devastating circumstance. And for our families, you know, their loved ones served their country. They stepped forward. They deployed, and they came home a different person, suffering traumatic brain injury, suffering from mental anguish, and it ultimately resulted in their death. But for many of our families, they felt their loved one, you know, died in battle. And but mentally and physically died back at home. The war followed them home. So what TAPS does is honor the life and the service and provide the emotional support to the families dealing with this very complex loss. You know, this is a situation where we can come alongside and help children grow up remembering their father and not letting the moment and the manner of the death overshadow the life of someone who served this country.
How do you do that? How do you help these bereaved children?
You know, we help their parent, their surviving parent, have the tools to, whether it's talking to them in an honest way, even scripting the words that are used, helping them at each developmental stage understand how children are going to process what has occurred. And, you know, I love this one little tiny boy, the way he worded, you know, his dad's suicide. He said, "The bad man inside my daddy's head killed my good daddy." When you think about, isn't that just heartbreaking? But it is a way to think about suicide, that you're not in your right mind, that something, the voice in his head was too loud for him to quiet it. And so we give children an opportunity to process loss in a healthy way. And all of this, Kim, is done because people in Colorado understand and appreciate military service and sacrifice, and they stand with the surviving families.
Well, let's talk about Colorado a bit, because there is an event that is coming up. Tell us about that, Bonnie Carroll.
This will be our 15th year doing the Colorado Celebrity Classic, where we have been so excited to bring songwriters, some of the, you know, top Grammy Award-winning songwriters, performers from Nashville to Colorado to do a really fun weekend event. And this year, we've had to pivot, as with everything due to COVID, over to doing it virtually. But I think we've really figured it out. We're going to have an online concert. We're going to have a silent auction, a Fund the Mission, a live auction. It's going to be amazing. So we are really excited about this and look forward to everybody being with us on Friday evening.
Okay, and that is Friday as in tomorrow, right? So it's going to be on Friday, October 2nd. And how can people become involved with this?
Great. Go to TAPS.org/Colorado, and you'll have all the information. It's easy. It's a free event. Sign up. Be with us. Enjoy the concert. Participate in all the activities. But we'd love for everyone to be with us and celebrate what is best about this country, American service, and then be there to support the families who have sacrificed.
Well, now, is it going to be a fundraiser? You said it's free. So how's this going to work then, Bonnie?
We're doing a silent auction, a live auction, a Fund the Mission. We hope everybody that comes and enjoys the concert and understands more about what we're doing will feel compelled to support us. So but we really also want to share the album that we produced, and it's called Love Lives On. So I'd love to tell you a bit about that.
Great. What is that exactly?
Well, TAPS teamed up with some of Nashville's and America's best songwriters and artists, including Billy Ray Cyrus and Andy Grammer and so many others, to write 10 different songs in a collaboration with surviving military families. They are absolutely beautiful. The title song is actually my story, and these are words, Love Lives On, that are very special to me. You know, we tell our families that while our loved one has physically died, the love they have for us endures forever. It inspires us. It is part of our living legacy. And so that's the story. It is this hope that the love continues.
Boy, do we ever need that right now with what's going on in America, Bonnie Carroll. So this event is on Friday, October 2nd. And what's the evening look like, Bonnie?
Well, it's going to be great. We're going to have performances. As I said, there'll be a silent auction, a live auction, and the live auction is led by Haley Bear, and then we'll have a what we call a fund the mission. So it's an opportunity for folks to learn more about what they can actually do, even with a small donation, to make an impact, to change a life, to heal a heart, and to honor service.
What time does it start?
It's going to be starting at 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Of course, because it's virtual, people can tune in wherever they are in whatever time zone they're in. So that's actually really exciting as well. But bidding is now open already. So if you go to taps.org/Colorado, you can get a little bit of a sneak peek. But we hope everyone, again, will tune in to taps.org/Colorado.
And I have been to a number of the TAPS events. Of course, not the virtual. This was the in-person. I laud you on your creativity here, Bonnie Carroll. But it is a really worthwhile cause. And with all the craziness that's going on out there, just think you can actually help a family that has had a loss like this. Bonnie Carroll, thank you so much. I appreciate the good work that you're doing. And again, people can go to taps.org/Colorado. That's taps.org/Colorado for more information. This event is Friday, October 2nd, begins at 6:30. Bonnie Carroll, what is just the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
How grateful I am to everyone in Colorado for supporting the families of America's fallen heroes, for remembering the sacrifices and standing strong with those who serve our country. Thank you so much, Kim.
Thank you, Bonnie Carroll. And Jason McBride is on the line with us. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. My gosh, Bonnie Carroll is doing amazing work, isn't she, Jason?
She certainly is. Boy, you got to respect Bonnie. A lot of the candidates that you're having on the show, Kim, boy, these local races have a hard time getting any airtime whatsoever, and I think it's great that you're giving these guys and gals a voice.
Well, and how I can do that is because I have valued partners. If you go to my website and look at all of the different partners that I have, Susan Kochevar is in studio with me, 88 Drive-In Theater. It's because of this partnership that we're able to do this, Jason McBride, and I so appreciate you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management. Question the markets. You know, it's just so interesting to watch these markets as we're coming into the election. What's happening today?
Well, it looks like we're in store, hopefully, for another pretty good day, Kim. Yesterday, if you remember in the morning, I told you the futures were pretty boring. Well, you know, at one point during the day, the Dow was up 500 points, so the futures don't always foretell the day. Now, you know, unfortunately, yesterday we did kind of give back a lot of the gains late in the day. The Dow was the exception. It closed about in the middle of its range. But the NASDAQ and the S&P, you know, they kind of surrendered a lot of the gains they had during the day and closed kind of more towards the lower end of the range. Then on the other side of the coin, the good thing was is that we did have some pretty strong volume on a good up day yesterday, hopefully to be followed up today, because right now the futures on the Dow are up over 200 points. Part of this may be due to the jobs numbers. The ADP payrolls report came out stronger than expected. Kim, we actually just got initial jobless claims for today, which are 837 actual versus the estimate that was 850. So the jobless claims were a little bit less than expected. So the market, I think, is seeing some, you know, signs of recovery continuing in the economy. Sorry, I didn't take a breath there for quite a while, did I?
Well, there's a lot of information. Susan had mentioned the other day or the other night at the debates, they were talking about what kind of a recovery is this? Is it a V or is it a K? And Susan said you can't have a K on a graph, Joe. What's your comments on that, Jason?
Oh, you know, he thinks K is a cute thing to say, and he probably spells cute with a K, too. But, you know, with a K, you've got one line going up and the other line going down, and the reason they say it's a K is he's trying to say only the millionaires and billionaires, of course, which he's one of, let's not forget, are the only ones that are seeing a recovery, while the rest of the country is still going down, which would be the lower leg of the K. So, again, that might be cute with a K, but it's not true, and it's nothing more than just a little talking point that they're hoping they can put on a bumper sticker.
Jason, one of the things I thought was interesting during the debate was the president made mention that when the stock market does well, everyone's 401k does well. And I think a lot of people forget that aspect of the stock market. Do you think that this rise in the stock market is some sort of indication of what they think might happen in the election?
Well, I don't know for sure, Susan. I mean, I think the stock market generally looks 6 to 9 months down the road at what it thinks the economy and the conditions will be. So it may be. I would certainly think the market would think the economy would continue to do better under Trump than it would under some of the higher taxes, more regulations, higher tax rates for corporations that you would see most likely under a Harris-Biden administration. So, yeah, it certainly could. You know, the market looks forward, and, I don't think there's anything wrong with Trump using the market as an indicator because, I mean, what else can you use on just a daily basis to get a quick look at it? A lot of people look at the stock market as an indicator of the economic health of the country. So I don't think Donald Trump should be crucified for doing the same thing.
No, a lot of people think that people invest in the stock market are all the wealthy, but they don't stop to realize even the teachers have their 401ks in the stock market.
Yeah, I mean, there's many people's fortunes in the country that, rise and fall with the market, so it's not just for the rich. I mean, the stock market is one of the areas that even somebody with just a little bit of money can buy a few shares of stock or a mutual fund and start saving. You can't go invest in commercial real estate if you don't have a lot of money. So mm-hmm. The market's wonderful in that regard.
And it's so inherently American. It's capitalism. It's being able to invest in companies that you think the management is good, the idea is a good one, and people have created tremendous wealth throughout the history of America. So Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. People can reach you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
You bet. And Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater, is in studio with me. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Josh Philip. He is an expert on China. He's with the Epoch Times, an investigative reporter. We've got some questions for him regarding TikTok, WeChat, and he knows everything about China. So we'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. We have Rick Turnquist and I worked together to create a voter's guide for all of the amendments and propositions that are on the Colorado ballot this election season. That is at my website. We hope it'll be a good tool for you as you complete your ballot. And we had an event last Monday night at Water's Edge Winery. You were there, Susan Kochevar.
I was.
And it was robust. It was great. It was It was really terrific. We're going to have another one October 19th. You can go to my website to sign up and buy your ticket. Tickets are $20 plus a $3 processing fee. Let's jump over here, Susan Kochevar, with Josh Phillip. Josh, welcome to the show.
It's a real pleasure being back.
You have been watching China for many, many years. You write for the Epoch Times. Of both, Susan and I both subscribe. It is a really excellent journalistic piece of work that you and your team do over there, Josh Phillip.
Oh, yeah, appreciate it as well. You know, make an effort to just do good old-fashioned journalism, and there's a big market for it in the print industry these days.
And there's a lot of opportunity, most definitely. And you've been watching China for many years, and one of the first interviews that you and I did together, you had mentioned that you did not think that there was anything that could stop China from, you know, just this trajectory that they were on. But you're hopeful now that things are changing a bit, Josh Phillip.
I am. I mean, keep in mind that my work for, more than a decade now, since 2008, actually, my job was to investigate mainly overseas Chinese Communist Party operations. So when people were talking about economic theft, and they're talking about the United Front, I've been reported on this for years before these things kind of hit the surface. And seeing the picture of what was being done by the Chinese Communist Party to subvert academics, to influence politicians, to get into our think tanks, to influence journalists, the entire picture of it is daunting. Keep in mind, just at Texas A&M University, which used to be a military university and which is relatively conservative, they did an internal review. And they found that more than 100 different faculty staff were taking money from foreign governments. Presumably that's China, because everyone's talking about it. You can only imagine to what extent other universities have staff who are compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. The full picture of it is very serious. And when it comes to this, one thing I've mentioned before, you could not ever begin to deal with an issue like this using very friendly, very light-handed means, because they will steamroll you. The level to which they influence things is already too strong. You can't take a gentle hand with it. I never imagined a politician would come in and do that. And, of course, like his style or not, Trump, that's what Trump does. He's not afraid to throw out trade deals, which actually a lot of times Republicans are more unhappy about than Democrats. He's not unhappy against going against big business interests, which is why now you have, you know, Tesla, Motors, and other companies trying to sue Trump for some of his China tariffs. He's not afraid of doing these things that I never thought anybody would ever do.
I don't think I realized that Tesla was suing Donald Trump on that. I missed that one. I find that so curious, Josh Phillip, because Tesla and Elon Musk has received over $2 billion in government subsidies for their for Tesla. I find that super interesting that they receive this money, but yet they can be using money to sue Donald Trump. That's fascinating, Josh.
Yeah, well, suing the administration,
Okay.
Course. Yeah, and I mean that's in regards to tariffs. Sanctions placed on the Chinese Communist Party when it comes to them buying these parts from China. Now, I mean, and I've talked about on my show, Crossroads with the Epoch Times, that, I mean, it's a funny move by Tesla, because China, at least in their words, I personally don't think it'll happen, but they're saying they want to move to, you know, basically a pure clean energy economy. I don't think they can do it. They promised the same thing back in 2007, and they didn't show any signs of it. Not only that, but they went the opposite way. But regardless of that, China actually does have a huge stake in the alternative energy market, because they control the rare earth minerals. They've stolen our technologies on, for example, wind turbines. Under the Obama administration, actually a big case on that came out. And they're also trying to compete with Tesla on electric cars, because they do see this as the future. Why would Tesla want to manufacture its parts in China? Why would they want to do that when this is a competitor to them looking to replace them? You know, pretty much copying their own products and competing with them on the market. I don't think it was a smart move either. But regardless, yes, being a big business, Tesla, a few other companies are suing the Trump administration over this.
Okay, Josh, you just mentioned rare earth minerals, which my understanding is that that is what is used in these batteries And so here in Colorado, we have a governor and a legislature that is say that they want to move Colorado to, quote unquote, clean energy, renewables, all by, I think, is it
2025 or something?
Yes,
like that,
soon, very soon. And Colorado has a tremendous amount of natural gas, fossil fuels here, clean burning natural gas and clean burning coal. And I see this strategically to actually move us away from another energy source, which is very efficient, and put us dependent on all electricity. First of all, you can see why Xcel would want to do that, because and would work with the administration to move to all electricity, because that increases their business. However, for us to be totally dependent on that kind of an energy source, and China has a lot of the rare earth minerals for these batteries, seems like it doesn't make strategic sense to me, Josh Phillip.
Well, that is one of the big issues. China has the market corner when it comes to rare earth minerals. They have the market corner when it comes to these, when it comes to, for example, solar panels, wind turbines, and so on. These are state-run companies, a lot of times directly competing with U.S. companies, not having to make a profit because they're state-run. They can undercut companies. They can charge below cost, put companies out of business, dominate the market. They do this all over the world.
And then they raise the price after that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that was one of the ironies that came out in these documents. You might remember during the Obama administration, they had indicted these five Chinese hackers, these military hackers.
Right.
One of the cases in that was this: the Chinese Communist Party, these military hackers, had stolen the designs of wind turbines. And not only did they manufacture those and compete directly with the company they stole them from, but they were even allowed to bid against that company on state contracts in the United States and actually outbid them. The U.S. government, or local governments, actually bought these Chinese wind turbines over American ones from the company, competing with the company they stole it from. Chinese went out over that. And yeah, when it comes to the rare earth minerals, you might remember back when China began its, say, territorial claims, East China Sea, South China Sea. One of the first moves on that was over the Diaoyu Islands, or the Senkaku Islands, which are Japanese-owned islands. They were given to them after World War II. And what happened was, because China controls the rare earth mineral market, part of that conflict, they denied Japan the ability to purchase rare earth minerals. And if you can't purchase those, you cannot manufacture smartphones, you can't manufacture most high-tech electronics, computers, TVs, you name it. These are fundamental elements when it comes to any kind of high-tech economy. And the U.S., from that time onward, up until very recently, has been trying to secure its supply chains when it comes to these elements. One of the big moves on this actually is the U.S. is attempting to start up a rare earth mineral mine or facility in the United States. The problem is it's actually Republicans blocking it currently, because the contract is going to an Australian company, and they're arguing, why is it going to an Australian company, not a U.S. company?
Okay. Boy, that's fascinating. Josh Phillip, let's go to break. This is just fascinating. Susan Kochevar, I can tell you have some questions for Josh. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue. Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater, is in studio. We're talking with Josh Phillip. He writes for the Epic Times. He has the China Report. We will be right back. Before we do that, though, I wanted to again acknowledge another one of my great partners, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business. It's a cool store, Susan. You should go out there, because they have all different kinds of knives. Could be for military, certainly for sportsmen, for your kitchen, collectors. It's really a cool store, and I'm grateful to have them as a partner as well as you.
Sounds great.
And so for more information, go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Josh Phillip.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. Our voter's guide for this upcoming election is there. You can just download that, and hopefully that'll be a great tool for you. Rick Turnquest and I worked, we spent a lot of hours on that baby, and we hope it'll be a good tool for you as you fill out your ballot. In studio with me is my good friend, also a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. That's Susan Kochevar with 88 Drive-In Theater. And I know you have some questions for Josh Phillip.
I do, yes. I see one of your stories talks about TikTok and the other, WeChat, yeah. So I try to keep my fingers on everything, but I can't quite get around. What is the problem? Why is the Trump administration trying to ban the download of these? How is it different from what Facebook does when they collect and hoard all of your information? What are they doing?
So the Trump administration is planning to ban TikTok and WeChat. You might have seen the news that a judge decided to block Trump's ban on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you will have judges' abilities to block the president. But it's based on the idea that the Chinese Communist Party may be getting data from these companies. Now, TikTok denies it, as does WeChat. TikTok says its servers for the U.S. are located in the U.S. WeChat, it is pretty much purely a Chinese company. TikTok is under ByteDance. You might remember back a couple years back, actually, that the ByteDance CEO actually published a public self-criticism letter where he apologized to Chinese Communist Party authorities for not closely enough following their policies when it comes to pushing ideology. He promised in that letter to follow Xi Jinping's four represents, which are basically guidelines on ideology and such, and also promised to allow his platform to be used by Chinese media, Chinese state media, to push their narratives. Now, one of the big concerns is that in China, if you are a Chinese company, you have to follow Chinese law. If you do not, they will arrest you. They will purge you. And one of the Chinese laws is the national security law, which requires that all data be secure and controllable by Communist Party authorities. They do not have a choice when it comes to allowing the CCP to access their data. Now, when that's applied to TikTok, of course, they somehow deny that this is happening to them, despite Chinese law on this. But regardless of that, I mean, you're right, too. Big tech companies, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, they're free applications. They make their money by oftentimes selling your data. And some of these companies, you can look at the companies they're selling it to. Among them, sometimes, is Baidu, which is the Chinese search engine. And in other words, these companies, in my opinion, are doing the same thing TikTok and WeChat are being accused of through their deals with Chinese companies anyways. But there's actually a bigger part to this, if you were to ask me, which is something actually a lot of my Chinese friends have pointed out, that when you have Chinese people leaving China, not necessarily Chinese-born Americans, but Chinese expats, Chinese students, they leave China, but they're never fully exposed to ideas outside of the CCP's narratives. And the reason for this is WeChat, for example, does not show independent news sources. Everything on there is curated, controlled, censored by the Chinese Communist Party. And so when it comes to the narratives the CCP wants to push, it can restrain information from going on these platforms. You might remember TikTok was accused of the same thing. There was a girl on there, for example, did a video talking about human rights in Xinjiang, where you have the Muslim Uyghurs who are badly persecuted by the CCP, including with slave camps. And the TikTok application pulled down the video. There have been many cases on this. And so these are platforms that do censor on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party. These are platforms that, based on Chinese law, would normally, we'd assume, even though they deny it, have to supply Chinese authorities with user data if requested, and applications that could be used for many, you know, any purpose the CCP deems necessary, because they can nationalize companies on a whim.
Josh Phillip, you just said persecution of the Uyghur Muslims in China. We know a little bit about that, but you just mentioned slave camps. There's slave camps in China?
Yeah, there was some satellite imagery just recently. Not only are there slave camps, they're expanding the operations. There's hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. They've built hundreds that they've newly built or expanded since 2017. And a lot of big companies are involved with this. Pretty much the entire textile industry is involved with this to some degree. And a lot of Western companies are reevaluating their supply chains to make sure that they're not involved in actual slave labor in China. But a bigger picture of this, I mean, yes, the attention internationally right now is on the Muslim Uyghurs. The same types of persecution are being done against Tibetan Buddhists, Falun Gong practitioners, and house Christians. Actually, the persecution of Christians in China is expanding as well right now. That's another big issue. And very few people are talking about the persecution of Christians in China right now.
I want to connect a dot then here, because we've had, you know, through Black Lives Matter, going back to the history of America and talking about slavery. The American idea is, it is amazing. And slavery was prevalent throughout the world, Susan Kochevar, when we declared our independence. Mm-hmm. And it's remarkable that this little country actually went to war to say that no man could own another man. So our history is not being really, I think, told to all of our kids. But my point on this, Susan, is all of these young suburban white kids that are concerned about the history of slavery in America, they have a real opportunity here to take a stand against China, where there is actually slavery now, not a slavery that was many years ago. Your comment?
Yeah, one of the things I see from some of my young friends is the pushback on the restraint of trade with China. They seem to miss that a whole ship was in port and had tons and tons of human hair from China, which Trump has banned, and I think they suspect it came from the Uyghurs, and there have been reports of them extracting organs and selling them.
Oh my gosh!
It's bad from
Josh,
what I hear.
Josh, have you seen any of that in your research with China?
The Epoch Times was the first publication to break that story, actually, about the Chinese Communist Party's use of political prisoners for forced organ transplants. It is happening on a large scale in China. They often do it while the people are still alive, and they often do it without paying killers.
Oh my gosh, that is astounding. Okay, one other thing then, Susan knows a lot of young people. I was talking to a young person about this TikTok WeChat ban, and they said, well, Trump is taking away our freedom in doing so. What would your response be to them, Josh Phillip?
Well, I'd say it's a national security issue. I mean, I understand that there's a certain numbness these days when it comes to the idea that big corporations and big companies are monitoring you. Pretty much everything you do online is being tracked. Every search you make, every product you buy, all these things are being tracked. The data is being sold to advertisers and sometimes even foreign governments. The idea of China being a very faraway country, monitoring your data for a lot of these kids is not that big of a deal. They're numb to it. But consider the type of future that this data is being used to build. A lot of this data for the Chinese Communist Party is being used for things like the social credit system. This is George Orwell, Big Brother government on steroids. It is beyond anything that people in the time of Orwell could have ever conceived that a government would be capable of doing. Monitoring every single action you have and giving you a citizen score based on it. And your citizen score is your freedom or your lack of freedom in that society. If the China model is allowed to spread throughout the world, which they're doing through the One Belt, One Road initiative, that is the future. That is the future if these things are allowed to continue. And I hope, actually, that the U.S. does take a stronger stance, not just against TikTok and WeChat, but against all the companies doing these types of things. In the West, and, you know, in China, this is done by the government. In the West, this is done by big corporations, ironically. And in the West, I think among kids, who sometimes believe more in socialism. There's a stigma against big corporations, but why is there not a stigma against big corporations working with totalitarian big government, running actual slave camps and doing these types of things? I regard it as a human rights issue. I'd regard it as something they seriously concerning and necessary to stand up against for the basic future of this world in terms of what the CCP is in fact doing and what they're trying to export.
Oh my gosh, I think if kids want to take a stand on something, we now have that. Josh Philip, thank you so much. I really love having you on, and I think we're going to have this on a monthly rotation, and great information. Really appreciate it. That's Josh Philip, does the China Report with the Epoch Times. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
And my pleasure as always. Thanks, Kim.
Okay. Susan Kochevar, you are a valued partner. It's so great to have you in studio. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. It's fun to get up, come in, and watch the sunrise.
And our quote for today, in honor of movies, is Humphrey Bogart. And he says, "There ain't nothing a man can't do if he believes in himself." I love that. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering.